you back on the road faster. So, where will you go charging on Electrify America? Let us know in the comments below. We'd love to hear what your plans are for this weekend and tell us where you'll go next. And you can learn more at electrifyamerica.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Inside EVs podcast for November the 19th, 2021. This is episode number 85. Our topics today: the top debuts at the LA Auto Show. We go hands-on with the Toyota BZ4X. Nissan Ariya U.S. pricing is released as reservations open. I'm Dominic Yoni, Inside EV's forum moderator and Inside EV's editor. Joining us today is the dapper and discerning Tom Malogny, Inside EV's editor and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. And of course, Kyle Connor joins us from the majestic halls of Out of Spec Studios. He also puts together rubber-burning hit videos for the Inside EV's YouTube channel. And with him today is Jordan Schaefer, his cameraman and podcast presenter as well, I believe.
Yeah, yep. And video presenter. You got to do it all.
Yeah,
all
yeah. Right.
All right. So before we get going, I'd like to ask that you please subscribe to the show. If you're watching us on YouTube, please hit that thumbs up button and ring that bell icon for notifications. If you're watching on Twitch, you can also ring that bell icon for notifications. All right. So with that out of the way, welcome everybody. So what we're driving this week. So let's start off with that. And we're starting with Tom, since he had a date with the Lucid Air and a 350 kilowatt Electrify America DC fast charge station, and he may have to leave us early to go on a drive with an electric Porsche. But first, I have this message from a sponsor I'd like to share. Hallebrand's line of hyperkinetic H003 aluminum wheels for the 2017 to present Tesla Model 3 brings serious performance to the table. The lightweight design is specifically tailored for wider fitments that provide more grip without the nuisance of rubbing. Visit Hallebrand.com today. All right, so Tom, what can you tell us about the fast charging Motor Trend 2022 Car of the Year?
Yeah, so pretty exciting. We got to do a full charging session, 0 to 100 on Lucid Air Dream Edition. It was the first independent testing done on this vehicle, so we were honored that we were allowed to be that outlet to do that, and did it yesterday. I still haven't even begun to put together the video and everything. That should be up in a few days, but I could tell you Lucid promises that you can add 300 miles of range in about 20 minutes according to their EPA rated range, and they delivered on that. In my recording, it did it in 21 minutes. And I used 300 miles based on 20% increments in the charging session, because the vehicle, I had a range, a Dream Performance range, is EPA range rated at 520 miles. So I said, okay, every 20% is 100 miles, because I'll knock off 20 miles and say, I'll call it at 500. And it hit 20% in 5 minutes. So it added 100 miles of range in 5 minutes. It hit 40% in 12 minutes. And then the 300 mile range point came 60% at 21 minutes. So the thing reached 304 kilowatt, but didn't hold that for long, very early on in the beginning, kind of similarly to how my Model 3 charges, where it hits the 250 for a little bit and then starts ramping down. I tell you, you have to consider how many miles of range is added, more so than 10 to 80%, because 10 to 80% on one car is completely different than 10 to 80% on another car. I mean, Dom, you have the Chevy Spark.
Right.
And I remember when that first came out, all the Spark owners were saying it's the fastest charging electric vehicle ever made. It's faster than Tesla because it could charge to 80% faster than a Model S could. You know, but, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could say a vehicle is the fastest charging. Right. What it really comes down to is how many miles do you add in what period of time? Because when you're on a road trip, that's all that matters. You don't care if it takes in 1,000 kilowatts, 200 kilowatts. It doesn't matter.
Right.
How long do I have to wait here? And in that regards, the Air is the fastest charging electric vehicle available today.
So 3 hours, 300 miles. How long does it take to drive that at 70 miles an hour, approximately?
Well, you know, maybe 4.5 hours, I guess, at 70 miles an hour. You do the math.
So So it'll add 300 miles, 4.5 hours of driving in, what was it, 20 minutes?
21 minutes.
21 minutes. That's like,
I don't know. When I got back to Lucid, they were monitoring my the charging. You know, they had the car linked and everything. They printed out some charts for me. And my charging session, actually, they did it 3 times in a row before I came out, like in different chargings. They used that car in different charging stations and they recorded it because they wanted to know where this was coming in at. You know, obviously, you know, you do your homework. But that said, they gave me the car, let me go to whatever charging station I wanted to. They didn't interfere. You know, I actually said maybe it'd be better if we do it on your property because they have, you know, high speed chargers there. I said, because then I know it'll work. I know we won't plug in and there'll be a communication error or something. And their answer to me was no, because if we do that, it's going to look contrived. It's going to look like we rigged it. They said, here's the car. Go have at it. Go where you want to go and do what you want to do. I'll give you a little sneak peek. This is the charging curve that we had. And I'm going to plot that all out on and do some comparisons and everything. And when you look at it on paper like that, it looks very similar to a lot of other electric vehicles charging curves. But what you don't see is how many miles are added in such a short period of time. I mean, in this first little part here where, you know, we have this the over 300 kilowatts, you know, you're adding 200 miles of range like that, you know, 12 minutes, 200 miles of range. You know, so, I mean, you can't even, I always say, you know, I like to, I time myself how long it takes me to plug in, walk inside the convenience store, get a cup of coffee, use the restroom and walk out. Like it takes me more than 12 minutes to do that, you know? So,
it's
a thing's a charging beast.
Right. So what's the second quickest, charging car? Would that be the Tesla Model S or the, Hyundai Ioniq 5?
Let Kyle answer that. He's shaking his head.
Wow.
Ioniq 5, EV6, really fast charging cars. Right. But e-tron GT, Taycan are, you know, just 10-minute 0 to 50%, 10-minute 47 second, and then you're on to the next charger.
How long can you get 300? How long does it get 300 miles in the?
Well, the car doesn't do 300 EPA, but it does 300 real world. So it takes 54 minutes to do 300 miles at 70 miles an hour.
Right. We're talking about real world. So that's
the rub. Let me talk a little bit about that because when I'm talking about the air now, I'm talking about EPA rated range and I derated it a little bit. I knocked off 20 miles. But we're comparing it to cars that we did our highway range test on, which I'll be doing in my video. I'll explain this. So it's not exactly fair because we haven't done the 70 mile an hour range test on the Lucid Air yet, which we will be doing soon. I don't have a date, but I've been promised as soon as we'll be able to do that.
Interest. That is going to be the worst day of your life, Tom.
Yeah, it's going to be sit there
for like 9 hours.
I don't know. You're closer to California. You might have to do that one.
No, I'm not doing it. Not me. Don't count me in.
It's going to be a really long, boring day, 70 miles an hour, you know, for many, many hours. But in any event, that's really, we need to see how it does to compare apples to apples, because as you know, we talk about this a lot. The Model S Plaid that I just did the 70 mile an hour highway range test on, it underperformed in its compared to its EPA range rating by about 12%, which is exactly what all of the Teslas that Kyle and I test, but they underperform between 10 and 12% of their EPA range rating. On the flip side, when we do the Taycans, they overperform by 30%.
Yeah.
So, you know, to use the Air's EPA range rating and then compare it to our tests on the Taycan and the Model S isn't fair. You know, we have to be consistent. But that's all we have right now. And I'm expecting, I've driven the Air for a while. I had a chance to drive it for a while yesterday, both Dream Edition Performance and Dream Edition Range. And Kyle, I got a performance with the full on power, did some launches, recorded it. What I can say is off the line, like if you want to compare it to the Model S Plaid, which you have to, the Plaid would definitely take it off the line. It's just got that, you know, the extra torque, the fatter tires, but get rolling at about 50 miles an hour. And Lucid told me 60 to like 120, they're dead. It's a dead heat. And I mean, it probably is. It's got slightly more horsepower than the Plaid, and it felt like it would be to me. So I mean, it's this much slower off the line than the Plaid, but once you get moving, it felt like it was a dead heat. I had that same like nauseous feeling after driving it for a while and just doing launch after launch, driving it 50 to 120. We were on a closed course. I wasn't on public roads. The thing rocks.
Awesome. And that's it's so weird to think that luxury sedans, you know, when I take them to the drag strip is like just part of the testing, just, you know, every day. That's really what we want to know, even though that's not how people are going to drive them, hopefully, in real life, except for at the track. So yeah. You think it's quicker than the regular Model S then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. The performance version. Is
right.
Okay. 100%. It's just, I'm telling you, it's a tick slower than the Plaid. And once you're rolling, Lucid said that, I mean, they have a Model S Plaid. They've tested the cars against each other. And, you know, once you're at 50, 60 miles an hour, it's a dead heat. You know, I mean, it should be because it's got 1,111 horsepower. The Model S Plaid has 1,050. It's got a little bit more torque, the Model S Plaid. I think it's like slightly over 1,000 to like 900 or something like that. But any event, the thing's a beast. The charging was fantastic. You know, I really... really impressed watching it pump the kilowatt hours into the battery was really the most impressive to me, because, you know, it's got a big battery. It's 118 kilowatt hours usable. So Lucid's never revealed what the total pack size is, but it's got to be, you know, 128, 130, somewhere around there. Watching the kilowatts just get pumped in. I mean, when I was at, I have my notes over here. When I was at 40%, in 12 minutes, we had put in 53 kilowatt hours in 12 minutes. And in 32 minutes, I added 100 kilowatt hours to the pack in 32 minutes.
That's great, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're averaging, you know, 4 miles a kilowatt hour, that, you know, 32 minutes, there you are, you're over 100 miles of range. So right. This thing pushes those kilowatt hours into the pack. Really, and I said push it into the pack. That's not exactly correct. That's what the charging station was showing was delivered. Not all of those kilowatt hours goes into the pack. And when you're charging at such a high rate, there's definitely going to be more losses. You know, without that. So, you know, I mean, I finished. I'm not going to give away everything, but I finished up, you know, north of 125 kilowatt hours pumped into the pack from 0 to 100. And I drove it way below zero. I wanted to see how much I can get in there. I drove it, you know, miles beyond zero before we plugged in. So, I mean, we really got the full 0 to 100% put into the pack.
Wow. Awesome. Kyle, I want to ask. So this car that you drove, it was a regular production car?
No, it was a pre-production, but I had the production software. They said, this is what customers are getting today. This is the software that they're getting. But the vehicle itself was a pre-production, you know, build.
And it felt quicker than the one that you got to drive at the launch?
A lot quicker.
Okay. Because I remember that was a little soft.
Lucid admitted that they derated it. You know, and Kyle found that out. He was probably the first one to find that out. You know, they admitted they derated it. I think there was some internal discussion over, you know, should do, and I think the people erring on the side of caution, saying it's too much power. They were doing the tests on public roads, and they didn't want to see people launching it and going, you know, 0 to 100 in 5 seconds and all this stuff. So they knocked it down a bit. But they told me the recording that I have is the first recording that they allowed a journalist to record launches.
Nice.
With the performance.
And you also have the first charging test. And so that'll be up on Inside EVs.
I'm out here now.
You're busy.
For the next couple of days, so I can't even edit the video. So unfortunately, I would love to have this out in like 2 days. It's probably not going to be till like Monday or Tuesday.
Right. Well, I should also mention, I was going to mention at the top, Martin, you may not may have noticed, is not here with us today, unfortunately. So we started recording just a little bit after the ad started running. So that was my fault because Martin is not here. He takes all care of all the knob twiddling and all that kind of stuff. But he's on vacation and he will be back next week. I will be on vacation next week, but I'm going to join you, but maybe from my laptop. So we'll see how that goes. And you guys right now, you're both actually, we just learned after, you know, just before we went live, you guys are actually in the same hotel, like a couple floors away from each other. You notice they have the same lamps or something.
Yeah, just randomly, I'm like, Tom's like, hey, that's a nice view. Looks like mine. I'm like, really? Turns out we're in the same hotel.
I got in really late last night. Kyle's been here for a while. And quite honestly, I didn't even know what hotel I was staying in.
You didn't see the giant Sprinter clogging up the valet downstairs?
It was not when I pulled up. There was nothing there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's on the wall, but it's hilarious.
Oh, I didn't see.
I had to deflate the tires, and then he had to stand on the back of it, so we cleared the over wing.
Oh, yeah?
Just by like a millimeter.
Caused some drama when we arrived.
Yeah. We did cause some drama.
Of course. But I rolled in really late last night from the Lucid event. I didn't get any sleep. So I checked in, came to my room, went to sleep and just got up now. So you probably were sitting at the bar, probably walked by you because I had to walk by the bar to get to the elevator.
We know everyone up at that bar now.
All right.
Well, I'm going to hear what Kyle's been up to because we haven't talked in a while.
So Kyle, you and Jordan have had a hell of a busy week. Before we get to the Rivian and LA Auto Show adventures, I believe you went to the big Holley High Voltage Experience event last weekend at Sonoma Raceway. So did you get to drive anything on the track while you were there?
Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No track work for me at all.
Oh, man, what was up with that?
Actually, one of our friends, Drew, who owns Martian Wheels, offered to let me take his Model 3 around on really great sticky tires and modified suspension. I was just like, yeah, probably not. I'm okay. For me, the track isn't, man, I hate to say it. I don't get as excited as I should about track work anymore. So I need to, I had a really fun car and track, and I've been lucky enough to drive that track a ton. It's an amazing facility, Sonoma Raceway. It's old Sears Point, just insane track. But yeah, with other cars out there in Drew's vehicle, I was just like, well, if I bin it, then that's going to suck. So I'd much rather just err on the side of caution for the first time in my life.
All right. So I'm trying to share video of you. Oh, at the stream. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so there you are at the track. So I don't know if there's anything there that you want to show us that you thought was especially interesting. There were a lot of Teslas.
I mean, not really. It's just like, how many wrap colors can you put on a Tesla, basically? It was a really cool event. Met a lot of viewers, really nice people. There was, how would you describe it, Jordan?
Yeah, just a lot of Tesla owners, but a lot of EVs in general. I did see a Cannonball Run guy that did it with the live wire. So it was cool.
It was a great way to spend a couple of days just hanging out with people. Just nice event, and hopefully maybe even more attendance next year. Yeah, all around just a really, really fun time around performance electric stuff. It was pretty good.
A lot of great conversions.
Mm-hmm. Right. This video that we're looking at right now, if you're watching us on YouTube or Twitch, this is on the Out of Spec. Which channel is this on?
Yeah, Out of Spec Reviews.
Out of Spec Reviews. All right. And so you can check out that full video there.
It's really boring. It's just me walking around with an iPhone pointing at things just like that right there. You got the whole gist of the video.
Right. But I mean, you found also great stuff like this Prius. Yeah.
Like that Prius is so sick. That was the highlight of the show. And the dude even revved it for me. It was awesome. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Nice stuff all around. Good builds from, garage stuff, hack jobs, to all the way to full professional, really nicely done, very high dollar builds. All around, great show.
This square body Chevy was nice. And then you turn around, there's a Porsche here as well, right? We've seen this Porsche before on Inside EVs. We had a story on it.
Yeah, cool car. That square body is neat because they're going to do dual motor out of that Chevy over there, which will be really sick. So it's going to be like a Model S P100D pickup truck.
It's good. So that's a motor in the front, though. So that's front wheel drive right now?
Currently, the rear motor doesn't or the front motor doesn't work. I don't remember. It's all installed, but one of them doesn't work.
I see.
And so they're going to have to turn it all up. I'm pretty sure the front doesn't work. Yeah, this right here is an AEM booth where they have their own motor controllers for Tesla stuff, or, you know, conversions. It was all, again, super neat. It's a very niche kind of event right now, but I think Holley's done a pretty good job of, you know, targeting the future of, you know, basically electric car tinkering. It's pretty cool.
Right. And Holley, as we read, they're one of our sponsors for this week and I think next week. And they own the Hallebrand brand and a few other things, right? The Recudo.
They have 80 different companies that they own.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's huge.
Huh. I had no idea.
Yep. Holley's like a massive conglomerate of just automotive aftermarket.
Okay, here's what I wanted to show you. Here's that Ford truck that was,
Right, so that's the F-100 with the Mustang Mach-E drivetrain. So it's got Mach-E infotainment, Mach-E steering wheel, Mach-E seats, Mach-E shifter, but then in the body of an F-100. There's the Cobra Jet 1400. Thing's a monster, and it sounds so cool taking off. Really one of the best-sounding cars there. Right. And then, of course, there's Mach-E 1400 drift car, and that's the seven-motor crazy monster that Vaughn Gittin and RTR put together, and that's just an awesome vehicle.
All right, those front splitters though. Yo, dog, I heard you like splitters. I'll give you a splitter for your splitter. All right, so let's see. You were also at the. Let me stop sharing this. Okay, so you were also at the Rivian First Mile event, tour stop in Sonoma. And you made a video about that, which was great. I just sort of liked watching, you know, to check it out to see if this is something, you know, to share or whatever. And I ended up watching the whole thing because it was pretty great. Just like, I don't know if you want to tell us a little bit about that First Mile event, because that's going around the country or something, right?
Yeah. Why don't you share? I'm going to shut the door since we left it open. I don't want to wake everyone in the hotel up.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the Rivian First Mile event, it's a unique experience for, like, customers and reservation holders and really just the general public, actually. When we arrived, we thought it was going to be, like, a little exclusive. They were like, yeah, did you find us by seeing the sign on the side of the road? Like, they want people to come experience Rivian. It's not just the trucks themselves. It's, like, they're highlighting the lifestyle surrounding the truck. So it's, like, this huge place with mulch everywhere. And it was, like cedar mulch. And they had, like, big throw lean-to shacks with, like, here's all the things you can fit in a Rivian. You can test if your dog fits in the frunk or whatever.
It was cool. They literally had, like, mock dogs as stuffed animals in different sizes to see how your dog would look in the car. And they had different bags and Dometic coolers and stuff. And, yeah, it was just a really interactive display. The trucks were totally open. Do whatever you want with them.
They were
totally
making,
open to the public.
They were making popcorn on the camp kitchen, and we ate Rivian popcorn.
It was awesome. The best popcorn.
Yeah.
Rivian, who cares about their stock, whatever. I don't know anything about stocks, but I will say, based off of their popcorn, you know, value or their popcorn taste, it's worth every penny, whatever you pay for their stuff.
$120 a share.
Yeah, it should come with some Rivian popcorn. It was awesome. And then, you know, so the public can come and experience. And, you know, I don't have a reservation for the truck or anything, but we have been wanting to drive one for a little while. Some Rivian folks knew this. So they're like, oh, you're here? Like, let me set you up with a drive. So we got to film a first, very controlled first drive. Now, the Rivian guys were cool. They didn't really give us any restrictions. I just didn't want to be an ass and, like, slide the car around in front of all the reservation holders that kind of had a little bit stricter driving policy, you know. But I will say, we did the video and then we shut the cameras off and went, like, behind a hill and slid the truck around a little bit, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And, like, full on rally mode it. And so there's rally mode, drift mode. We tried both. We went in the mud in this parking lot, like, full sending it around, got it covered in mud. And yeah, we should have recorded it. I don't know. I didn't want to get anyone in trouble there, but they were super cool. Now they're in trouble after me saying this.
No, I mean, no one's listened to this podcast.
That's right. That's what I say to everything. So no one's going to watch this.
Right.
And great experience.
Except a few, like, really cool people. You know.
Yeah, here's the deal. Did I get to do everything I wanted to do with the truck? No. But as Tom knows, there's, like, levels of experiences, right? So this was my first taste to be like, am I even interested in covering this car? Am I interested in, you know, sharing more about it? What are my impressions? And that's what you got, is my out of the box, brand new, first time in the vehicle. I was pretty impressed. I mean, look, there's still a lot of unanswered questions. I don't know thermals. I don't know how the truck's going to charge. I don't know the efficiency of the truck. I honestly don't know how it's going to be off-road. But I will say, just driving it around slowly, it felt really solid at everything I threw at it. But I haven't thrown everything at it yet. So hopefully coming at some point in the near future, we'll spend some more time with it, take it on some trails in Colorado. And yeah, it's going to be hopefully pretty cool. Stay tuned.
So if you're watching this on YouTube or Twitch, you can see Kyle here is in the back of the video. And what's that interior color? Ocean Breeze?
Ocean Edge, I think.
Yeah, okay. So this specs forest green Ocean Edge off-road pack with the smaller wheels.
Ocean Coast.
Ocean Coast. Right. Yeah. Great interior. That's the one to get. This looks so good. Tom's getting.
All right. Tom, is this what you got?
That what you're looking at is what I spec'd out. The same wheels, the same interior, the same exterior color. Like Kyle picked my truck.
Tom, your truck's great.
You have a great truck, Tom. I want to come visit. It has a nice glass roof up in there too. So this is another video I just like started watching a little bit, so you know, get the flavor and things. And I ended up like sitting there last night and like watching the whole thing because it's really great. So do you want to tell us a bit about your impressions about the like the driving dynamics, like the?
Yeah, I don't think it's probably worth going super in depth on the podcast. I mean, we have a whole 26-minute long video here that you can watch if you really want to know about it. I'll give you the highlights, which are, you know, really solid acceleration, really solid cornering, and the range of adjustability from the suspension gives this car this really large breadth of capability in terms of on-road comfort to then on-road sportiness, to then full-on lunacy drifting in a pickup truck in silence, which was, I think, you know, just we had so it was, I won't say where we did it, but it was a blast sliding this thing around. It like actually felt like perfect. It's small, like you can really place this car well. I kind of actually want to take it on track. I think it would do well. The big question is, are the thermals going to hold up to it? And every time after I did a launch, the fans kicked on. So I don't know if that's the car pre-cooling for future hard driving or saying, oh, whoa, that was really hot and I need to cool myself down. These are the things we just can't gather from a quick test. But overall, really solid, great build quality, almost no squeaks and rattles, a little bit of like front suspension, just like you could tell that truck's been thrashed on a little bit and it was like super early pre-production. It was not a production truck. And yeah, other than that though, like I was genuinely impressed and I went into it with zero expectations. So you know, no one's really driven the truck. Anyone, you know, went to Tom's Breckenridge event that was mostly off-road. So we heard about its off-road capability. No one's really done anything else with it, right? I don't think so. I didn't know what to think.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few review videos. I haven't had a chance to watch any of them or many of them. So it's hard to say.
I also don't watch a lot of car reviews just so I can remain, you know, my impressions aren't swayed. I mean, it happens. I love watching car stuff, but at least on Rivian, I had not watched really any reviews other from the Breckenridge event. And so, yeah, and that was a while ago. And I was just very impressed with the vehicle overall.
You really like the regen, I understand. And the just the throttle
response. Parts of the regen were good. I mean, look, low speed one pedal driving was nice. The transition when it comes to a stop, you know, it pulls you down nice and slowly, blends in friction, actually holds on motor torque to stop the car and then blends friction brakes. So it's a really smooth transition. You never feel it, you know, transition over. What did I not like about the regen? From coming from high speed, not even that high, but like 40, 50 miles an hour, I went full regen. I was at about 65% state of charge. The car showed up with an error that said, hey, I can't regen right now. Either that meant the pack was cold and it just was early. It just felt like early software calibration that was like...
It was a little buggy in the software, like, but we kind of expected that.
Yeah, but I think that was the only bug. What else did we have? Nothing, right?
When they were playing the trucks and the playground.
Oh, they had to reset some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But early software.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? We just don't have a production truck to really reference. So once we get that, we'll dive into everything. We'll do a full infotainment deep dive. We'll do our thermal testing, our charging testing, our range testing, but then also vehicle drivetrain setup testing and ESP calibration and all the different driving modes and showing how the vehicle performs and given tests in each driving mode. It's going to be so boring if you're not really into cars, so don't even watch it. But if you really want to know everything, we're going to provide the nerdy stuff.
Charging curve on the flashlight. We'll do it all.
Yeah, charging curve on the flashlight. Jordan's going to do an hour-long in-depth review on the Rivian speaker.
Right on. Oh, yeah, it's true. It's got a Bluetooth speaker hidden, just stashed away in there.
Yeah, they used them at the event. They sound really good.
Sounds good, yeah.
Oh, great. So speaking of trucks, I guess you finally got to see the Ford F-150 Lightning in person as well and check that out. And maybe I think you'd believe you did a hard launch indoors at the LA Auto Show.
Hell yeah. So both Tom and Jordan have ridden in F-150 Lightning. Right. I had never even seen one in person. So I'm like way behind the curve here. And I show up to Ford and there it is, you know, front and that's presenting as their, you know, halo vehicle. And we took it out on the little track that they had there with the Ford engineer. And this dude was wild. He was great. He was like me. He was like full send to launch, roasting all four tires, full ABS braking. And then I was like, okay, have a good day. And I'm like, that's how you get someone excited. Now, is the relevance of a pickup truck being fast relevant, I guess is what I'm trying to ask. No, but like, if you're going to make a truck, why not make it fast?
Yeah.
Like, what's not cool about that? So I'm all about it. It doesn't hurt. The thing with electric is, by making it super fast doesn't mean you have to compromise on efficiency. Just make it super fast.
And fast is relative. I mean, compared to like a Rivian, this is slow. But compared to a standard F-150, this is blazing.
Yeah, but this felt faster because we were like this far from like people launching and then like heading straight for a wall.
Right. You're in a pretty tight space there.
It was awesome. This dude knew this truck so well. And it was a pre-production mule. Like none of the plastics were grained. And I mean, we literally recorded the entire experience end to end. It was like 2 minutes. And it's on this channel, posted a few days ago. We also have a review coming up either later today or tomorrow on the e-transit on this channel. Just a walk around, which I'm really excited for because I think that's going to be a transformative vehicle in the delivery space and the commercial space. That's actually one of the most excited vehicles I am, or I'm most excited for that vehicle than almost any other, because e-transit's just going to be awesome. Rear-wheel drive. Transits naturally have the best handling chassis. So if you want the fast van, you always buy the Transit. And so we're going to have to do a combustion versus Ford electric Transit versus Lightning e-motors track battle to see who can get the packages from A to B as quickly as possible. It's a really important buying decision, actually.
Right. Awesome. All right. So let me see. I'm doing
Kyle, when I rode in the F-150 Lightning with Darren Palmer, who we had here as a guest on the show, we were at Ford's Proving Grounds and we were able to do some high speed runs. And even at the higher speeds, you know, 70, 80 miles an hour, when he punched it, it still threw you back in the seat. So it's a performer. It really is.
But the big question for me is like, so that's like the fun party trick that's easy to show, but like, how's it actually going to do when we throw work at it? When we max out the trailer and then head up I-70, is it going to overheat just driving in normal traffic? That I can't wait for TFL to do their Ike test with it, because that to me is the gold standard for a truck, is to get up the hill and one, not overheat, but also I think it's 8 minutes try and do it is like a perfect run. So I drive that section of road all the time. I can't wait for them to do that test. And I had a chat with Andre this week, who does those tests at TFL. He was here at one of the events and we talked a lot about testing for towing with EVs, and there's so much more you have to think about. And no one knows really the proper way to do this stuff yet. So we're going to all figure it out together. It's going to be great.
All right. So, I went somewhere and got to drive some cars this week as well for a change. Usually it's like Kyle and Tom get to do all the fun stuff, but I actually got to do something this week and it was pretty great. So I went to the second ever Toyota Evolution event. It served as the U.S. launch for the BZ4X, or BZ4X if you're not American. It was also a chance for the company to talk a lot to journalists about its whole electrification effort. And so they had a presentation where they broke all that down. I thought they were quite defensive about their decision to lean hard into hybrids, which is fine. They also talked a good bit about hydrogen. I did find it funny at one point. They had a speaker telling us about the progress of their solid state batteries, which they've been working on for some time. And he said that when they finally get this right, they'll see a BEV in every driveway, a battery electric vehicle in every driveway, which kind of left me wondering, like, well, if you have a BEV in every driveway, what about hydrogen? But anyway, later though, they did make a point of saying that they don't see the hydrogen hybrids and battery electric vehicles as an either or thing, but it's more of an all of the above situation. In any case, I did drive the Mirai, the RAV4 Prime, and the Prius Prime. This was actually the first time I've I drove a Prius in my life, which is kind of nuts. I've been writing about green cars since like 2008 or something, and I've never actually driven, been inside of even a Prius. Right. So we didn't drive the BZ4X.
What did you think of the on-limit handling characteristics? I mean, it's really such a high bar to get into Prius. Like, you have to go so fast to hear the tires even work a little bit. Was it as scary as most say?
Well, I didn't actually have it at the limit.
No, I'm just joking. It's a Prius.
Right. So I was there to see this beauty.
I don't know if beauty is the correct word. Right. By the way, can we talk about this for a half a second? Because we played around with this car this week too. What do you think about it?
Well,
I like it better than the Subaru.
I like the Subaru better than this. Dominic, Subaru, Solterra, or BZ4X?
See, I'm just clicking through. There's a
Prius Prime, baby.
Subaru,
Solterra. The only car. Wait, the Prius Prime is the only car to ever lose a drag race to my smart car.
That's saying something. You know, I was surprised by the Prius, actually. So we're talking about it. There's a lot of hard plastic across the dash. And, you know, I didn't think it felt that sorted, you know, like the hybrid system, like, you know, hitting the, I don't know.
That's because you're thinking about it. The way to drive a Prius is just put it in D and just drive like a maniac, and they're great. I'm a Prius lover, actually. It's so weird, but I love Prii. You've owned them.
Third-gen Prius was peak Prius.
Third-gen Prius was peak Prius. I totally agree. Yeah, Prius 5 with the tech pack, the good wheels. That's the way to go.
Okay.
Had one for years. It's good.
Let's just see. So, yeah, so it was my first time driving the thing, and I kind of liked it. So we didn't drive the BZ4X, obviously, but that was the focus of everything. It got its own special reveal and a presentation on the stage, and fog rolled in as just before that happened and kind of gave the place a kind of a magical feel. It was kind of nice. The group before us, it was like nice for them the evening before, and they had like a nice, beautiful sunset. It's like there's a Pacific Ocean just behind it there. So it was a very nice setting for it. So the BZ4X is kind of interesting. We talked about the Subaru Solterra last week for its global debut. It also had its US debut this week at the LA Auto Show, but I'm not sure that we learned much new, except that I think only the all-wheel drive version of that car is coming here, from what I understand. The BZ4X, however, will have the front drive version and all-wheel drive. It has the same X-Mode system developed with Subaru and grip control for good traction off-road. So I'm looking forward to seeing, Kyle, you take it on your hill climb challenge when that road opens back up again.
It'll be middle of next year, March, right? It opens up?
You might have to find a different road.
Yeah, we're going to have to find another challenge. We can't do that. Right. We got to have a year-round. I was just dumb. I should have read. It's literally, you roll up to the trail and it's posted on the sign. Closed. Okay. It's half the year. Meanwhile, I'm like, ooh, trail. Who cares about the sign? Let's go.
Talking to them there about it, though, like I explained your situation a bit with the VW ID4 kind of failing that test. And yeah, they had every confidence that they'd be able to do it, no problem. So
every confidence, we'll put it to the test. Right. We'll open up the trail just for that.
All right. So there was an interesting detail about the battery size that I had to ask about. The front-wheel drive version, which they say will return 250 miles, is 71.4 kilowatt hours, while the all-wheel drive version, which they haven't given us the range yet for, is 72.8 kilowatt hours. So there's a 1.4 kilowatt hour difference, which was kind of weird. At first, I was like, what, did they stick an extra couple of cells in the battery? That makes no sense. But, of course, what happened is that So the smaller pack comes from Prime Planet Energy and Solutions, PPES. That's the joint venture with Toyota and Panasonic. That's what's in the Subaru Solterra and then the front-wheel drive BZ4X. So the slightly larger all-wheel drive battery comes from CATL. And so that should give it actually a little bit more range than if it had the other battery, like the all-wheel drive Solterra. This one might have a little bit more range. So the Solterra, they say, will get 220 mile plus.
Are you saying we're going to have to do two different charging curve tests on this car?
Yes. I am saying that. So I'm hoping to see 230 miles, but we'll see.
Bring it on.
All right. So that's probably lower range than a lot of people would like to see. I think they appear to keep that number high in winter, though. So it's got a heat pump and heated seats and heated steering wheel, of course. But it also has a front seat radiant foot and leg heater, which I guess is more efficient at keeping you comfortable than just heating up the entire cabin.
So there's a driver-only mode, basically.
That's what Hyundai calls it. Also, the passenger as well gets. I'm kind of hoping it extends to the passenger wheel well as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so. Like Kona Electric and Niro, they have like the driver only. I think every Hyundai Kia hybrid actually does, and it just shuts every HVAC system off for the rest of the car and just does the driver. Similar concept. Does that not have the ugliest freaking interior of any car?
Oops. Let me.
That is the least inviting steering wheel gauge cluster screen. Just fingerprinted plastic everywhere.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the piano black, but I mean the rest of it, I kind of liked it. You know.
No, I don't know where. What did you like?
I kind of like. Well, for instance, finished looking at the 12-volt and the USB-C thing there. Mm-hmm. This thing pulls up. That was kind of weird, but at least it's soft. You can rest your elbow on it. That little front thing opens. That's going to have a phone charger inside. This is like a pre-production.
That's going to get so hot in there.
Possibly, yeah. But I really like the material on the dash. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's cool. We saw that. That was neat. I like that.
And this is a pre-production vehicle, of course. So it had all kinds of little error things popping up on the screen. So you had to kind of ignore that. But, you know, originally
Does the screen beep every time you touch it?
I didn't touch it, actually. because it wasn't really functional. So what's the point? But originally, I really hated this idea of like where the driver display is. But then sitting in it, I realized, I mean, it pushes it way up to the front there like that, and you can see it over the wheel. You don't have to. I'm doing all these other things here. You don't have to look through the steering wheel to see it. You can actually see it, no problem. So it's kind of nice when you're sitting in the car and everything.
I don't like how it looks like a tunnel leading to that. Maybe if that the driver's display was just floating by itself, sitting up there, it doesn't need that the walls leading to the display. It just looks so weird.
Right. Yeah. That is true. I'm looking for this other video here I have, and hopefully there's no sound. Okay. So the back seat was, seems all right. You can see I'm 6'2", and so in the regular seating position, I mean, I've got enough space. It's all right. But when I went over to the middle position, not really enough space.
No one designs for middle seat anymore. It's right. Just there to tick the box.
Right. You can see there's they gave me, see that jacket I'm wearing? They gave me a nice jacket. Full disclosure, you know, Toyota paid for my way.
Compensated
there
your jacket.
They paid me.
Can't trust anything you say now, Dominic.
That's why he's been so complimentary.
They fed me good food and stuff. And they gave this jacket, which is on the chair behind me right now, actually.
We can never trust any coverage from Toyota, according to Dominic. He's been paid off.
No, I'm just like full disclosure kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, let's see if there's anything.
It just seems like such an underwhelming, unexciting machine to launch 12 years later than it should have, and then it's really ugly. So it's like, what are they trying to do here? They're not trying to promote electric cars, I'll tell you that much.
I kind of like the black around the thing. At first, I didn't like it. Like, I was like, man.
Yeah, but do you like the car? Now, forget about.
I did like the car. I did like.
Would you buy it? Would you buy it over ID4, Model Y, Mustang Mach-E,
I'd have to drive
Polestar 2, XC40 Recharge.
I'd have to drive it and see what the price tag looks like. That's
Aria really, or this?
I mean, if price was no option, probably Aria, I think.
Yeah, I think everyone, I don't understand the car, really. We've got to spend time with it.
But really, I don't know. After, you know, spending like a day or two with it, I kind of begin to appreciate the looks because it really differentiates itself from like the ID4, where it just kind of blends in with a lot of other SUVs. There's so many anonymous crossover SUVs out there. This people will see and they'll know, oh, that's the Toyota thing because it's got the
wrap-up. That's the ugliest car on the planet going by. Look at them.
Why didn't they just make it a RAV4? You know,
that's what I'm saying.
An electric
get
RAV4.
The range, make a right. RAV4.
I mean, they could
EV.
Make an electric. I drove the electric for the RAV4 Prime, and actually, I like that. That had a great interior. That was like that and the Tundra, I think they had a Tundra hybrid there. So,
well, RAV4 Prime is still one of the best Toyotas made. It's like inline six Supra, then RAV4 Prime, then everything else.
Right. They didn't have anything non. They didn't have a Supra there. It's just there were no non hybrids, but they had like Corolla, Camry, Sienna, Venza.
New Sienna is pretty awesome. Did they have a green one there?
The Sienna?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was not a bad minivan. Yeah.
Thing in green is mega.
Right. That's why I rode on drove me back to the airport on that thing. And it was a nice experience. It was like two captain chairs in the second row. So it was like quite comfortable and spacey and spacious and everything. Yeah. I guess there's like a 3-person bench that could put back there. But I think all the ones I saw on display had, you know, two like captain's chairs and they were, you know, very comfortable.
No Avalon there.
Yeah, there was an Avalon. I didn't really like the interior of the Avalon, the Corolla, the everything. I didn't like the interiors in anything really.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I just am not into whatever they're doing over
Except the RAV4, I did like the interior very much. The RAV4 Prime.
It's not that much different. The problem with Toyota is you get in every single one, and then they just said, you know, for every car, they just throw up buttons in different places. So there's no rhyme or reason as to why certain things are somewhere. Like a heated steering wheel's on this side of the cabin, but your heated steering wheel or heated seats are here. Heated steering wheel's like on the other side. And then you're like, oh, I want to pull up the cameras on the screen. And like somehow that's in the third row seat back storage pocket. There's just buttons in random places.
Right.
So when Kyle showed off his jacket, I had to go grab something. Oh. So I was at, when I went to visit Lucid to do the charging test, it just so happened that they were hosting the Charin Testival, which is an annual charging festival where Charin invites all the manufacturers, charging station manufacturers, all the OEMs, everybody gets together, brings their cars, brings their charging stations. There were buses, Proterra buses with megawatt chargers. Sweet. It was really cool. I got to speak to a lot of people in the industry and I got to see some cool cars that are not yet released yet. Unfortunately, it couldn't take any pictures because of, you know, all the manufacturers had their, their latest vehicles and upcoming vehicles there. And what they do is, it's so cool, they rotate their cars. And by the way, Tesla was there too, charging on all the CCS equipment. And they rotate their cars, like, you know, you'll see BMW with all their new electric vehicles and ones that haven't been out yet, charging on like Electrify America charging stations. And then you'll see them go to the next and it's, you know, a different manufacturer, then EVgo, and then, you know, all the different individual manufacturers, ABB and FSEC and, you know, Signet and all them. And the cool thing about it is they kind of collaborate on this. Like you see people from Mercedes talking to people from BMW, because these are the engineers, the geeky engineers, you know, that are really working on this. And the cool thing about it is, like, usually you don't see automobile manufacturers, work like that, collaborate like that. I mean, that's not the case. But this is, such a new thing for everybody. And they know that charging is such a problem for all the manufacturers. And they release a new car, they always seem to have some kind of charging incompatibility issues with different charging stations. So they get everybody under one tent. They all plug into all the different equipment and then they pull the data and the charging errors that happened. They were all testing plug and charge. Like it was just really cool to see all the manufacturers working together to try to make sure their equipment was all compatible with all the different vendors. So it was a cool couple of days.
Leonard asked us on the YouTube chat, did you get to see the MCS connector?
Perhaps.
Okay. Okay. And EV Nomads are with us today, Brendan and Callie. Tesla's with adapters. They want to know more about this.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I'm still a little unclear about what I can talk about. Okay. I wasn't formally invited to this event.
You just crashed?
I just kind of crashed it and walked around.
Yeah, everyone started covering up their cars.
Not really. It was the cool thing about it was everybody knew who I was and was like, hey, Tom, like, you know, and invited me to come over and see. But everyone was like, you know, no pictures, no recordings. So I'm still a little unclear. I have to get clarification on what I can and can't talk about, but it was really cool. And the general gist, really what you really need to know, regardless of what cars and what adapters and whatever, was that everybody was there working together to try to get charging simplified and working for all the manufacturers, and to see, you know, people from different companies sharing data and saying, yeah, mine, you know, faulted out at that same state of charge. What happened there? You know, was there an overheating issue or something? And that's what it's going to take to get us to where we need to go. Because, you know, if you follow this channel here, we all complain about public charging infrastructure. All the companies out there, it's a pain point now for electrification. Everybody has problems with all the networks, you know, not just the big guys. And it's good to know that they really are working to get this crap ironed out. I know it's taking longer than what we would all like it to take, but they're working on it.
Right. I mean, these people really care about what they're doing, right? I mean, engineers are like,
No, absolutely. And the Charon, the people and the Charon organization that pulled everybody together, they're volunteers. They work in industry in different companies, and they kind of created this. And the people I was talking to was like saying, like, yeah, I don't get paid to do this, like organize this festival, get everybody together. You know, we're doing this because we know it's needed, and we have to get, you know, that we have to get charging simplified. It has to work every time people plug in, and, you know, we're going to get there. But I think the general consensus from the people that I talked to kind of off the record was that we're like 2 to maybe 3 years from everything always working. Plug in charge, all the cars come in, you just roll up, you plug in, it authenticates, it starts charging seamlessly. You know, whether or not that happens, I don't know. But that seemed to be what, like, the experts were telling me, because there's next generation equipment that's going to be coming out in the next year or so. And I think you're going to start to see a lot of the high power charging stations that we all use get pulled out and new ones plopped in. And I think that next gen is what people have their high hopes about, that are going to be the ones that are just rock solid, plug in charger authenticates. You just walk away. Like,
yeah, chargers now.
Superchargers.
I mean, Tom, you know this. The chargers that are in the ground now are absolute garbage, most of them. Just terrible quality with zero, you know, sort of quality control in general. They're all pretty. I don't think there's like a great one. And so why put all the money into infrastructure today with hardware that you agree is going to have to get ripped out in a couple of years, when you can just hold out for the real hardware, make sure things work, and then maybe we'll see some more investment in the space.
Yeah. Well, I see. I'm getting a lot of comments that I'm some too cynicism. Optimistic. Am I going to pet a unicorn or something like that? I think somebody said. But yeah, you know, listen, of course there's going to be challenges, you know, and I'm not saying that we're going to be there in 2 or 3 years. I'm saying that's what I was told from the people that are in the trenches working on this stuff, the engineers, the people that know this better than I do, better than you do. This is what they do for a living. And they seemed very optimistic that we're very close from having. Now, I'm not saying in 2 or 3 years, all the stations just snap your finger and they're all going to be working. What I'm saying is we'll have the equipment that will work. Now, when it gets all put in the ground, I don't know. There's obviously going to be legacy stations, like stations that have been in the ground for the last year or two or three, that are going to be hanging around for the next decade. But, you know, at least we'll get to a point where we do have equipment that works, and it works every time you plug in.
All right. Hey, we should get to the news of the week. Tom, are you going to hang out with us a little bit longer?
I'm probably going to jump off, guys. I got a lot to do today. And I think my big thing was talking about Lucid today. And
we'll see you for drinks tonight together.
Yeah, I'll see you at the bar later, guys.
Yep, see you in a bit.
Take it easy.
All right, so before we move on to the news, I want to share these messages from our sponsor.
This week's Inside EVs podcast is brought to you by Electrify America, and we're so happy to be partnering with Electrify America until the end of the year. With Electrify America, you can drive your EV from coast to coast with more than 650 charging stations nationwide and new locations opening every week. Electrify America is bringing EV drivers the freedom they need. Whether you want to plan a weekend getaway, maybe you're off to see some friends or relatives, maybe it's a coast-to-coast road trip, you can ask our Kyle about how that's done using Electrify America charging stations. Well, you can rely on Electrify America's ultra-fast chargers to get you back on the road faster. So, where will you go charging on Electrify America? Let us know in the comments below. We'd love to hear what your plans are for this weekend, and tell us where you'll go next. And you can learn more at electrifyamerica.com.
All right. And we also have this. Hallebrand's line of hyperkinetic HP003 aluminum wheels for 2017 to present Tesla Model 3s bring serious performance to the table. Wheel dimensions have been specifically tailored for wider fitments that provide more grip without the nuisance of rubbing. Wheels are available in silver and anthracite finishes, and thanks to a specialized flow-forming process, these wheels are up to 5 pounds lighter than the factory wheel. Shop Hallebrand.com today. All right. Actually, there's a, if you go to the Holly YouTube channel, they have a complete like video sort of with a lot of the same script, but showing you the process, actually, that form-flowing process. And you know, you can kind of see the product a little bit better. So that's worth checking out if you're into wheels. All right. So let's run through some of the highlights of this LA Auto Show. I think it's I want to start by saying it. I think it's important to note that VinFast was there. That's an ambitious company trying to kickstart electric automaking in Vietnam. They brought two vehicles, the VF E35 and the VF E36. Which they say,
I just want to know where the first 34 are. Why would you start at 35?
This is a good question. You ask all the good questions, man.
Yeah. And
you tell someone you want an E36, they're not going to think VinFast.
Right. They're going to think, oh, I want an old BMW.
That is a good point.
But anyway, we got to play around with these in person and they are so cool. I was all in. These are rad. They're really neat.
Right on. Let's see. So the smaller one, the E35, comes off to me, I think, as a bit sportier. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
Not sure I would use that word to describe any of them.
Well, I first want to say that actually they're going to begin taking pre-orders in the first half of 2022, that's next year, and start delivering, they say, in the fourth quarter in the U.S.
Don't put your money down on pre-orders. I'm done with that stuff. Just once the cars come in, then you'll get one. You can either get one used for an owner, but let's see how they work in the U.S. No one knows how any of this stuff is. And look, you do what you want with your money, but I'm not. I think just pre-orders for EVs, this whole trend needs to stop.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, really bad.
This message part two from
yeah.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. So
a lot of people take what I say and just do the opposite. So maybe they'll put orders in.
No, I mean, that's a fair comment, you know? So this is the E35 that we're looking at now. It's got some unique design language there in the front fascia. They're both styled by Pininfarina, and the interior is simple and straight.
They also
ahead.
Did the Motor One logo, our sister site.
Pininfarina did, yes.
Yes. Not VinFast.
Right, not VinFast. So the VinFast interior, though, is like simple, straight ahead with a screen mounted in the middle, like the Model 3.
A huge bezel, it looks like.
The E36 is like, that's a larger one, and
that's the one to go for.
It's got kind of similar design language, but it looks a little less awkward, I think. The interior is laid out like the other model as well, but yeah, it looks a little bit more premium to me. They didn't give us any specs or prices yet, but the VinFast website says they'll have like 210 miles for the E35 and 342 miles for the E36. I'm just going to assume these are optimistic numbers. I don't know. Jordan, what was your impression?
They had two different range numbers, didn't they? There's like two versions of the cars.
I don't remember. I mean, pretty much everyone here had, here's our goal targeted range. And they didn't have any idea on what battery pack size would be or even voltage architecture for the system or what motors they were going to use.
I got really annoyed. I was like, what are you even doing here? I was like going around to people like, please, can we talk to the most technical person here? We're like, hello, this is so-and-so, head of powertrain design. amazing. That's who we want to talk to, right? And then we're like, okay, so how is the motor situation going to be? Can you cool the sub-ambient temperature with a chiller and active thermal management? No one knew anything. The level of competence of these people at the show that are engineers was zero. I was just, I mean, yeah, I was getting so upset yesterday with these people. I'd come up and say, hi, yes, I'm unveiling this new pickup truck feature, something Edison feature. Okay, great. 300 miles. Is that EPA or WLTP? Oh, what? We don't know. We're not announcing. What battery pack are you going to need to get roughly? Obviously, we're not looking for dead specifics, you know, to get that kind of range. Oh, we haven't even thought about that yet. Stop bringing design shells to a show and wasting everyone's time.
Okay. Sorry. Well, I did have something that was, I did have something here from a company who I believe their engineers do have a good clue what's going on. And you did a segment on them for Inside EV's channel. And let's see, I'm queuing this up. I miss Martin so much. there we go. So tell us about the Porsche Taycan GTS, which Tom, I believe, is going to drive today. It debuted, and I believe it comes in sedan and Sport Turismo flavors. That's not Cross Turismo, that's Sport Turismo now. So can you give us the Reader's Digest version of what these cars are about?
Yeah, here's why I like Porsche. When I ask them questions about the car, it's either their product representatives know every single little detail down to how the brake mechanism works. We had a whole hour-long conversation with them on the PR side, not in the engineering side, about brake pedal blending and how regen works through ABS. And like, just the level of knowledge and competence is so high. Not only that, if they don't know, we can just talk right to the guy who made the thing. Like, they just be like, oh, this guy did the thing and he'll tell you everything. They have nothing to hide. Understandably, this is a production vehicle and not a pre-production idea that's a shell. But this is why I am so into Porsche, because when they announce something, they'll tell you everything they can about it. It's great. Taycan GTS Sport Turismo, just in general, it's actually, like, when you boil it down, nothing really that special. It's kind of the obvious next Taycan.
It looks Porsche pretty special to me. GTS. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. I mean, it's styling lower perspective.
It's lower than the regular Cross Turismo, and it doesn't have the wheel stuff around the wheel arches, right?
Cladding. So it's the same sedan suspension now put on the same body as Cross Turismo, just without the plastic, so it sits nice and low. Specific wheels there. GTS trim, both sedan and wagon, get upgraded front rotors on standard brakes up to 390 millimeters from 360. It has specific motor drivetrain calibration. The thing I like about this is typically GTSs are the 4S or the S model bumped up. In this case, it's the turbo pulled down. So there's a ton of headroom for thermal above this car, which means in theory, we could just rip it around a track for longer thermal longevity without it overheating. That's going to be quite interesting to test. The car is going to be tuned to give a lot of power in the rear and a little bit up front. So it should be really dynamic in the corners. By that, I mean slidey mode. It's not a specific mode, but you can still go crazy. Torque vectoring is standard. What else is standard? You get Sport Chrono is standard, so Sport Plus mode. You get the Sport Turismo, which is the best Taycan because it's not the lifted wagon. And so, yeah, I'm all in. I love it. I think it looks so great. You also debuting with GTS is the coolest sunroof I've ever seen, or glass roof in any car. This particular one didn't have it. I think they have some other ones outside with it. How would you describe it?
So, well, Dom, did you play with the Venza roof when you were out with Toyota at all?
I did not.
Okay, because it has the electrochromatic glass that'll just immediately fog up and then go clear again. The Taycan will do that as well, even in the sedan, I think.
Yep.
But it's actually segmented, so you can actually, using the climate control screen, adjust how much of the roof you want to be.
And then how dark or light you want it, too. It's, and then you so can have, like, cool different waves and sections and stuff. It's the coolest thing ever.
Wow.
Party trick of all party tricks. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. It's the ultimate if party trick. Like, you can just put anyone in a Taycan now and go, woo, look at the roof, go crazy. And then they have a nice day. And that's all they need to know. It's like totally not relevant to anything Taycan's designed for, but it's really cool.
Right on. All right. So we talked about the Kia Concept EV9 last week after they showed us some teasers. And I think this, well, I like the GTS Porsche Taycan, but it's kind of out of my league, out of my budget. But the Kia EV9 I thought it looked pretty good. I think it's like maybe my favorite attainable car at this auto show. It's still in concept form, of course, and there will be a lot of changes in the production version.
Sadly, because damn, does that thing look rad? It is so good.
It looks like if the Telluride just became a concept.
Yeah, it is. I think it's the best concept car I've ever seen. You know, I hate concept cars, but this was like, I walked up to it. I just put up a whole hour and 12 minute video of me walking around the auto show, just pointing at things again.
Okay.
And so we pointed at this quite a bit, and it was like, oh, triangle wheels, this, the headrest.
Right.
It's so cool. But it won't look like that, so.
Right. I love the design, the light design on the front end. I thought the interior looked quite warm and inviting, with the one big 27-inch screen that extends from in front of the driver all across to the center of the dash. And, of course, it sits on the 800-volt eGMP platform, so it's capable of charging from 80% to 80% in for like from 10% to 80% in like 20 to 30 minutes. Range is given as 300 miles. I don't know.
That's what everyone just says. It's the default. Electric car, we'll do 300 miles. We'll figure out how to do it later.
Everything we saw, yeah.
300 miles. We don't know how we're going to do it. 300 miles.
Right.
Oh, which testing is that 300 miles? WLTP, EPA, NEDC, whatever it is. Oh, no, 300 miles.
WLTC, right. What was that car last week? They instead of using WLTP, they said WLTC. Instead of, it's just another acronym for the cycle instead of like the, I don't know, procedure.
Can we share also to people writing press releases about electric cars to like actually get their facts correct and not share totally misinformation and everything? I've seen like 6 cars in the last year that get kilowatt and kilowatt hour mixed up. And right. Motor stuff totally confused. And it's like, we need this information to provide to our audience. This is what it's for. It's supposed to be from the company, all the details. Kia's not a part of that. Kia's great. They get it.
Right. It looks so great. Nice and big and blocky and boxy. It puts me in mind of like the BMW iX, but without the controversial, you know, big
it just looks great. Girl thing. If they just made that and like kind of softened up maybe some of the stuff that would pierce a human in half when they get run over, it would be awesome.
Right. So Hyundai also unveiled a car. Let me see. It's so hard to know all these things. I miss you, Martin. They unveiled the sister version of this Kia in LA as well. They call it the 7 SUV concept.
Yep, we saw it.
See what they did there. Its design was a bit cleaner, but I think kind of boring.
I wouldn't use the word boring. It looked like a giant centipede. This was a tube going down the road.
EV9 was better, but yeah.
Yeah, I love the lights on it, but Ioniq 5 looks more concept car than most of them, and that's production.
There we go.
Yeah, this had all the cool, like, digital lights like Ioniq 5.
It's great. Not pulling anything up there, Dom.
Oh, let me pull it back. Yeah, you can see it there now, right, on your screen?
Negative.
I can see it on my screen.
There we go.
Okay. All right, so that's the front end that we're looking at now, and it's got like a strip of LEDs across the top there, and it's got some vertical ones on the side and then on the bottom. But it's, you know, it's, I don't know. What did I write about this? So I thought it was a bit boring, personally. I don't know. It didn't really do the same thing for me as the Kia did. The back was kind of interesting. If you're watching us on YouTube or Twitch, you can see we're showing you the picture of the back, and it's got this huge window, and you can see the Hyundai logo. It's all on the inside of the glass of the back, and it's got a big red strip of LEDs across the bottom. I don't know.
It does look better. Jordan? It does look better in person.
Okay.
But still not as good as the EV9.
I thought it looked great. Yeah, I don't know. It's cool, but it's a concept car. What else was there that was really neat that was not a concept car? By the way, we went to the GM booth. They literally didn't have one electric car. Look, right. I'm not Mr. EV. You guys know I love combustion cars. I'm all for the new Z06. I'm all hyped for that. I went there, and we literally looked at every car. We said
we looked for one.
We looked for a hybrid, a mild hybrid. We looked for a normal hybrid. We looked for a plug-in hybrid. battery electric, hydrogen, unicorn farts, whatever you got. Show us something interesting. Nothing. Zero. And they're like, we're going all electric. And like everyone in the government saying, GM's leading the way. Didn't even bring one electric car. Such BS.
But I'm pretty sure I heard the president of the United States the other day just tell us that GM was actually leading the electrification of transportation or something to that effect. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm not going to comment on politics. I stay out of
it. Right.
I just think it's that's dumb.
Right. I do too. And, you know, I don't mind commenting on politics. People who follow me on Twitter, you know,
we know your politics.
Or I'm a bit to the left. That's no problem. But, you know, I don't. Our president right now has a hard time, you know, saying the word Tesla or any company that doesn't have, you know,
any word really. Sorry, I'm not commenting on politics.
any car maker that doesn't use the UAW, the United Auto Workers Union. It's just he's a union guy, and man, it's kind of crazy. It's practically farcical. And that's our political content for the day.
Yeah, okay. Let's not go into that.
So that brings us to the Fisker Ocean, which debuted
finally
in production form.
I like the art car they had there better. They had one with a whole bunch of art all over it. Like, looked amazing.
Yeah, cool wrap.
Yeah, do we have a picture of it? I think I took a picture of it.
It's production form, but yeah, they also couldn't answer anything. Questions.
Literally, they got mad at us for asking. They're like, I'm like, so what's the battery pack capacity? 300 miles or whatever it was. And I'm like, no. Like, I get that. That's awesome. But like, and that's targeted EPA. So that was at least based on something. We're like, no, like what you got in this thing? We know it's CATL cells. Like, what's the motor stuff? Like, they just got mad. Like, and the dude was just not nice.
No.
Everyone else was super nice that they didn't know that, by the way. Like, when we go to auto shows, we have a ton of fun with people. We're not being asses walking up. We're just chatting, whatever. This guy was like, stop asking me questions. I have better things to do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let me give you a little rundown on this car. So there have been a lot of doubters about the whole Fisker situation. No. You know, it's Henrik Fisker's second startup. He had, you know, the Fisker Karma earlier in the decade, which, you know, got sold to a different company, and they're doing other things with it now. But it wasn't, you can't say it was a success for him. So this one, though, it looks like it's actually going to happen. It's made by Magna in Austria. The Ocean is looking like a pretty good value for a premium-looking vehicle. There are three versions. There is a front-wheel drive Sport, which will start at $37,499, so under $30,000 with the current federal incentives. It will have an LFP battery, iron phosphate, from CATL in a 250-mile range. The other two models use a nickel manganese cobalt cell chemistry, also from CATL, and both of those are all-wheel drive. The Fisker Ocean Ultra is said to have a 340-mile range, while the Fisker Ocean Extreme, gets a 350-plus miles. All Fisker
He really Ocean- likes standing next to that thing, doesn't he? He is soaking that moment up. Look at him. He's just standing there.
Oh, yeah. That's his baby, man. He's been working on this.
He's like, let me work for it. Pose for it. Let's go. Fisker Ocean, baby.
Yeah, he's the one that got it. I mean, yeah. So all Fisker Ocean models, actually, this is interesting, I thought, will feature a silicone carbide inverter, which is great for efficiency, of course, which is also wonder how, like, how do they keep the price down? Because that's more expensive tech, right? But
How do they?
Sorry?
So how do they keep the price down?
I don't know. But it remains to be seen how well this is going to work. You know, this is like they're throwing up numbers that are pretty competitive numbers.
Yeah, they're throwing up numbers, but they won't back it up with any hardcore data.
It's going to be the $35,000 Model 3.
That was made for 1 month.
All right. So let's just talk about performance a little bit. So performance-wise, the base Sport gets a respectable 6.9 seconds 0-60.
Front-wheel drive, brand new chassis, front-wheel drive EV, right?
6.9 seconds 0-60. So that is a side rant that the word Sport has been destroyed.
Point. But that's actually better than the...
Than ID4.
Volkswagen ID4, the Toyota BZ4X, the Solterra, of course.
Yeah, but once you're in this region, none of the cars are fast. So
there's another one, yeah.
Power to get out of its own way, yes.
So I thought 6.9 was actually not so bad. But the Ultra, the Ocean Ultra, can do it in 3.9 seconds. So that's more, you know, that's getting up there or down there.
Yep.
And along with more range, the Extreme also gets more power, about 550 horsepower, and its 0 to 60 is 3.6 seconds, they say. They can be reserved today, with customers will be able to buy them, they say, by the end of 2022. So I'm not sure if that means deliveries by the end of next year, or you can just like write them a check. I'm not exactly sure.
Can I just say, if I ever started a car company, which I don't think I'd ever do because I'd have to deal with people like myself reporting on it, I would never even mention a 0 to 60. I'd just say it's fine. It gets there.
Right.
Focus on other stuff.
What was the expression at Rolls-Royce?
It's adequate.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was quick in his day.
Well, I don't know about that, but it got there eventually. But who cares? You're in a Rolls-Royce. Savor the experience.
Right.
Yeah, look, here's the deal. Looks really good. I love the design of this. It drew a lot of attention. The automotive media is into it. They keep giving this guy second chances. I think this is his best chance he's had. I know Magna really well. They build the best stuff in Austria. They're great. They build the G-Wagon, literally the like most robust vehicle on the road. They know what they're doing.
I-Pace.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that's the most robust vehicle.
Right,
on the road.
Right. I'm just saying they have some electric.
I was going up that way. I-Pace may not be the most reliable choice, right. But G-Wagons, you can pretty much blow up with a grenade and they're fine. Oh, maybe a dent in the door. And so basically, I hope this is going to be really good. I hope the company is more forthcoming with some of their technologies and their construction processes and what gets them to the point, because here they just launched a car, but they didn't share any details to that satisfied. So we, Jordan and I, had a plan that said, you know, if we're going to cover a car at the auto show, we need basic details.
Right.
And I think this was one of them that we couldn't get basic details. So we didn't end up covering it because I don't feel comfortable sharing this car with our audience if they can't tell us anything about it.
Right. I mean, we had a fair amount of information. It's on the post, really. I mean, the pricing and the performance and the horsepower numbers and things.
Expected all that stuff, yeah.
Right. I mean, the Kia stuff didn't have that. The Hyundai didn't have a whole lot of information.
But those were concept cars, right?
Right. Right. It's true.
No, that's totally true. Different.
Fair point. So maybe we should get Henrik on the show sometime. Maybe do a midweek bonus episode with him.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, why not? Let's talk to him.
Yeah, but
let's talk to him once the car is made. Let's just wait till it hits production. I don't think it's worth. Once it goes in people's hands, then we'll bring him on.
All right. So, was there anything else at this show that we didn't talk about yet that you wanted to mention?
A lot of stuff. Okay. There was a whole bunch of weird EVs. What were they called? There's the Bellini Electric, which is like a little tuk-tuk thing with a solar panel that charges in 3.5 hours from solar. It must be a little tiny battery, but it's the coolest thing ever.
Did you say to what?
It's called the Bellini Electric. They're like, they look like Indian tuk-tuks.
Okay. Yeah, was that from, not from
it's
India?
It's from Bellini. I don't know, but sure. I mean, it looks like it, but I don't want to make any assumptions.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was really cool. And so loved that so much. Then there was also Solo.
Electromechanica brought the Solos.
Okay. Right. They brought their e-roadster Porsche thing, which is so cool. Really cool. They brought
man,
the Solos.
I love that.
Solos look really fun. I think we're going to drive them today.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great, actually. Yeah, I'd love to see you drive the Solo.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of an automobile, like a weird mobile. That's a three-wheeler, and it fits one person, I believe.
Yeah, Solo. That's the real downside.
Right.
So why would you design something that is one person? Like, that's such a limited use case.
I mean, I like that because we had, like, in the early 2000s or maybe even late 90s, we had that one-person, three-wheeler kind of similar thing that this is a bit kind of based off of or very similar in design to, the name escapes me, which is bad. But, you know, I love that little weird mobile.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I also want to get with Aptera while we're here. They're not at the show, but I kind of thought it'd be fun to cover them a little bit. By the way, yeah, did some projects with Rivian where we went over to their, what do you call it, the hub, and filmed that. We should do just a whole mini episode on the hub from the hub.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That was so neat. We shot a whole video on it for Out of Spec Reviews. It's up now, and it is the coolest experiential community involvement center, really nothing to do with the trucks. They like Rivian will bring in like local talent, artists, teachers, whatever, and then you can just go there and learn skills, learn new things in like a learning center. and they have a library and they have a hangout spot. It's open, it's free Wi-Fi. And so like that was really cool.
Yeah. Built that on the site neat. Where what's his name wrote Fahrenheit 451. Like there's some history to the location and everything. It's cool.
Yeah, we've done some really neat things this week. There was a lot of good stuff at the show too, like really good stuff. But overall, the show's smaller this year. You know, we're all coming back from COVID times. No one really knows if they need to put the money in shows. Do automakers even need to attend auto shows anymore? I'm not totally convinced that they do. It's a whole different world these days. So, you know, I think everyone's just trying to figure out the path. You know, the automotive journalism landscape's changing so fast. I'm not really sure what you know, everyone's got a different idea, I guess, is what I'm trying to say about what to do.
Right. So if you're watching this on Twitch or YouTube, you can see Kyle here walking around how did you call it? The Rivian
Hub.
Hub in Venice, California.
Yeah, it's Hub 1 internally. There'll be more hubs. Colorado's getting a hub, right? Mm-hmm. Or a service center. I don't remember.
I'm sure they'll get a hub, too.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't say where any more hubs will be. That's wrong. I misspoke. They did not tell us where any more hubs will be. We've seen service centers being built in Denver centers, one center, and they have a whole bunch of chargers out front with a Rivian sign on there. So that's what that'll be.
So our viewer, Alien Drone Services, tells us Electromechanica Solo versus Arcimoto FUV.
Now we're talking. This is the stuff we need to do. That's the real hardcore testing I want to do. Yeah, it's Ray Bradbury's house, or at least his house was there, but his house is gone.
Okay.
Sweet. But it's in the same location as where he wrote Fahrenheit 451. Like, you're on top of the soil.
Nice.
Which I didn't know anything about that because I'm very silly. So if you watch the video, I look like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't mind, but I am an idiot.
Ray Bradbury's got some great books, of course.
You say, of course, but that wasn't so apparent to me.
Okay.
I've never heard of the guy.
I mean, oh, really?
Who is this dude?
Dude, do some Googling after.
Did he invent a Porsche? Was he a racing driver? Right. Or, you know.
he wrote some great, he was more of like a sci-fi kind of writer, but not really, it's hard to explain.
I feel like I've been way too negative this show. Overall, we've had an absolute blast at the auto show. We set the lap record at the Hyundai N booth on Forza. Was it Forza?
Yeah, Forza virtual racing sim.
And although I think someone may have got me, I heard rumors that someone got me by like less than 10.
We have to go
back today and spend another hour and a half.
And Subaru had the best presentation of the entire show. I mean, their booth section, whatever you call it.
Who was this? Subaru. Subaru, all insane.
I mean, the floor is LED tiles as a screen.
And it snowed inside.
Yeah, they had
They literally had snow. I mean, it wasn't real snow. It was fake snow.
And puppies?
Yeah, they have puppies. It was so cool. Oh, and the Ford Bronco booth has goats.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, the show was great, really. And tons of big focus on electric. Everyone's, you know, really pumped up about EVs. I saw EQSs all over LA shuttling people around. It's getting real exciting. We are in peak automotive these days. And so, you know, we have the best of combustion cars with cars like GT4 RS and Z06 launching, and then the best of electric cars with EQS, with this crazy Lucid stuff like Tom was talking about, with Rivian getting people electrified off-road, with Tesla building, honestly, just the best electric car in terms of vertical integration of hardware and software. It's so well done. We are living in the best possible time. So I hate to be so negative. I just think I wish people would focus a little bit more on quality of content geared towards us for doing our job. The thing is, most automotive journalists don't understand electric cars. So they gear their press releases to be really vague versus like when you read a combustion press release, we have this much supercharger boost pressure. The equivalent is like, they're not even telling us what kind of engine the car has in these releases. So we have some work to do.
Right on. Hey, so I have a non-LA Auto Show story that we need to hit real quick.
Okay.
Before we leave. So we've been waiting a long time for this, but the Nissan Ariya can now be reserved in the U.S., and we have the pricing. There's a launch edition, and then there's three regular trim levels. So they all have a 91 kilowatt hour, 87 kilowatt hour usable pack. The most affordable one is the Ariya Venture Plus, and it offers the most range at an estimated 300 miles. There's that number again. It starts at $45,950. It's, like I said, front-wheel drive. It's got 238 horsepower. We weren't given a 0 to 60 time, But I would expect it to be in the neighborhood of around, you know, 7-ish seconds, 7.5 seconds. I don't know. The Aria Evolve Plus and the limited edition Premiere are also front wheel drive and are estimated to get 285 miles of range. If you want to splurge and get the eForce all wheel drive setup, that will set you back $58,950. That gets you 389 horsepower and like double the torque of the other trim levels. So, and range is given as an estimated 265 miles. So even the base one has a decent amount of options, I think. They all come with ProPilot Assist with Navilink, for example. And there's a bit more information about that on our post on Inside AVs. I know, Kyle, you've seen the Aria in person and have sat in it.
Yep.
Do these prices sound competitive to you?
There was a lot of numbers. I think I forgot them. But yeah, it seems good.
Yeah? I mean, they seem higher than like some of the competition.
Here's the problem. Regardless of the price, how is this car going to compete with ID4, with Mach-E, with Model Y, when it's kind of bleh? It's front wheel drive as two wheel drive car, which I'm not into. So that's just like Brandon said, just a non-starter. I'm not into the new chassis front wheel drive. People say they're better in the snow. I'm doing a video. I'll show you they're not. So just stay tuned.
Oh, that's great. I'd love to see that. That's
yeah. And I'll go through and explain why. For combustion world, you're absolutely correct. For EVs, that's not the case.
Right.
So then you got to spend a lot of money to get the all wheel drive system. You're into this thing for big dollars at
$58,000.
I know, it's crazy.
$59,000, man. That's a
and
lot.
You're into this thing for like $52,000, $53,000 after the tax credit. ID4.
It does look nice though.
Was $50 before the tax credit and got 3 years of free charging.
But
yeah, it looks nice.
I would argue it's really nice.
It's the most luxurious Nissan ever produced. I'll say it right there.
Okay. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, that's almost, not, I don't know if EQC levels, what would you compare that to?
Well, I don't know how that would be priced here because there's a lot of factors when you bring an import and homologate a car for the US market.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not sure.
But this is not just like this is not a Maxima or an Altima, I should say.
It's nicer than a Maxima on the inside. I mean, it is the nicest thing. There's a lot of attention to detail. There's a lot of cool tricks. They spent the time on this.
Right. And a lot of time because it's only going to be available in, do I have this in my notes?
That's one way to pitch it. Normally you're Mr. I was setting it up for some praise there.
Right. Well, you know, I'm disappointed in the time it's taking them to get this thing to market. It's like, should be in the stores by now, man. It's so frustrating because they had the Nissan Leaf, right? And forever ago.
This is the negativity show of the year.
Oh, sorry.
Get it out this year and then we'll be back to positive.
Yeah, the wheels are terrible.
Team Aria. I love this thing. You know, if you're watching this on Twitch or YouTube, I'm scrolling to like the photo gallery. You know, and it looks like great.
Yeah, I've been in that exact car like a bunch.
Right.
And it's really great. It's fun. It's cool. But like, let's just see how production version. I mean, I guess they announced the production version. We saw the blue car, which is the first time we saw that one. Look, Nissan's ready for it. They're coming back. Their whole model lineup is really good, in my opinion, for their intended audience. They focused on style, materials, design, not so much on driving dynamics or engine choices. But I think that's okay across the board because I don't think people buying Nissans in general in mass numbers really care about on-limit driving dynamics. So I'm all for it. I think they're back. And 400Z is going to be amazing, and Aria is going to be amazing. And they had Aria front and center, plastered over everything. They're all in on that electric thing. And by the way, let's not forget, they have a ton of experience. They came out with the Leaf 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
Right.
And so they started this whole thing, honestly, as a mass-produced electric car. And so it's time, you know, they get serious about it again.
Right. We have one viewer here who speaks up and he says he has a reservation for the Platinum Plus, but he's very worried. I don't know. Should he be worried?
What are you worried about? You're worried you have a reservation. I just told you not to put in a reservation. This is why.
Just I mean, if you want to be in that first wave of deliveries,
that's not how you do it. You don't get a car that way. The way you get a car is don't put a reservation in. Call your dealer now. Say, look, if someone cancels, I am right there, cash buyer, whatever the situation is, approved, I don't know, but you're ready to go. You'll take the car by the end of that day that they cancel. Zero risk to the dealer. And so that's how my dad gets ID4s. That's how it's done with this reservation system and a traditional dealer car will show up, someone will cancel, you swoop in.
Right. So Nathan Green says, you could get this or, for less, an Ioniq 5 or EV6. Those are... I mean, that's a good argument.
That's a good argument because the Ioniq 5 and EV6 is just going to turn this entire world upside down.
Right. I would argue that the Aria is a nicer experience inside. At least the feels and looks. That.
Ioniq 5 is great inside. GV60 is great inside.
Sure. Right. But I think the Aria is just like a bit nicer. But I know when you're talking about that kind of money, but the Kia and Hyundai, the Ioniq 5 and the EV6, those are going to, they have much better charging profiles. I mean, the Aria's charging is not, I think it's,
well, peaks. We don't at, know, but we, from what we've seen, we've never seen anything amazing.
It peaks at 130, I believe.
Woo!
Which is, you know, and what's the Ioniq 5 and EV6?
110 kilowatts less than Ioniq 5.
Right.
That's like saying, how would you say, I don't know, and I'm trying to, I've been really, you know, spending a lot of time around combustion journalists recently, and for them, like this whole EV world just is like, oh, 130 or 250. Okay. I don't really know what that means. In the real world, that's like majorly different. That's like, yeah. Oh, you got a 3-cylinder or an 8-cylinder. I don't know like how to equate this to a combustion term, but like big deals. And so we have this massive spread of difference in the electric world that makes covering it so fun because every car has these huge peaks and valleys of its core competency. What am I trying to say?
Competency.
Thank you. And Ioniq 5 is just going to smash everyone. How right. can it not?
I know.
I mean, maybe not in efficiency, but in everything else.
I mean, people are talking about they want to be number one in electrics, like Ford, who I think is a great guy, and I think he's really doing a good job there at Ford. He wants to be.
Simon says, by the way, it's about, you know, the area under the graph. We know this, but like.
Right.
The Ioniq 5 is fast and has a really freaking good curve.
Everyone's gunning for number one, but you know, you get this Hyundai group, man. They've got some range of products. They got the platform.
Sriracha sauce.
I mean, that's they got the what do you just the foundation is there, right? To really go bonkers on and just grab market share and mind share.
I'm all in on their stuff. They are proving us time and time again that they're legit. They're serious. They even just from a driving dynamic standpoint, when I tested EV6 was extremely impressive. They're rocking better than almost anyone.
Right. And I'm liking the EV6. You know, when I first saw the EV6, I'm like, oh man, that's kind of tough. You know, but
I agree.
But I've been seeing some, I haven't seen it in person yet, but just really some different angles. It's looking a lot better to my eyes now. I don't know how that works even, you know, but
yeah, we spent a couple of days with that black car in Munich with that EV6, and that really started the shift. And I was like Ioniq 5 all the way up until that point. I'm like, that's the one you have to get.
Right.
And then, yeah, as soon as we saw EV6 and had the car, I'm like, oh, this detail's really nice. That's actually really nice. This is good. And then we saw it again this week. Right. And it's just like, looks
so good.
Great.
Right. All right. So I think we should probably wrap it up there.
Well, what's your favorite car from the LA show this year?
I kind of like the EV Concept 9, the Kia Concept 9. Yeah, I got to say that. I just like that. You know, I'm not even that big a fan of driving a big car, but I just think it has a great presence. You know, I like kind of boxy. Like my sister has
like Hongqi, whatever the ES. Is that one?
Actually, my sister has the old Scion XB, you know, the original one. It's like a toaster. It's like a, you know,
the toaster. Box. I love it.
And I love it. And it's great. A huge amount of room inside, like a small package. And for whatever reason, you know, that's just what the thing that got my eye caught my eye this year. Like I like the BMW iX, which is similarly boxy and things. Mm-hmm. But I think I like this EV9 is going to be even nicer.
Well, we'll see. We don't know what'll make it or not. But the Telluride's a great looking SUV, so we know Kia can do it.
Yeah,
Telluride looks imposing. The Genesis stuff looks imposing. I mean, look, they are on their game. I thought overall, yeah, everyone's saying they're going electric. It's like that's the thing to do, so they're just doing it. But I'm not quite sure that really many people have the technical background and passion and understanding to do it. It's like, we are going all electric. And right. I'm like, oh, really? Have you ever spent time with an electric car? Like, do you drive one now? And they're like, oh no, I've only driven like a Model 3 once.
Right.
Like, okay. So like, you know, how can you present the product without experiencing it. And right. So this was really the big takeaway from this show is it's trendy to say we're going electric, but that's a very shallow statement, in my opinion, for most.
Right. I mean, you really have to have a program and a you know, a foundation like Honda has. And I think, you know, we were talking about GM earlier, and we were saying they don't have an electric vehicle at the show. They don't have any electrified product there. But they do have everything in place to get that going. You know, they have the Ultium platform, and the strategy is
there. Well, we should have presented their strategy then.
We just
put that on display?
Well,
like, say, look, here's a whiteboard.
They didn't have the Hummer EV there?
What was that?
They didn't have the Hummer EV there?
No, nothing.
Jeez, what the heck? Oh, man. I have to call them up and give them a speaking to.
Meanwhile, you roll up to the event. Volkswagen's there. By the way, Volkswagen only has one electric car in their lineup. And they don't even mention anything in the signage. It's all ID4. Experience ID4. Once you drive an ID4, you're never going to get back. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. You're never going back. And I thought that was funny because it's like, well, you can never go back to your starting point. Then. It's like, that sucks. But that was just a joke. But like the thing that Volkswagen Group in general across the range is when they present their cars, they put their best cars forward. And ID4 is the best car in their lineup. And they've gone into it, and you got to commend them for it. Look, I know Volkswagen's done some stuff in the past that isn't great, but right now it's like they don't have to put their ID4 right up front and plaster it everywhere, and that's what they're doing.
Right, and that's the other big, you know, company that I think has.
We joked about this, Gary.
This joke is in Kyle's video. I heard it. I lolled, as the kids say. Yeah. All right, so should we wrap it up?
We could.
I need to go on vacation, man. It's been like a year and a half.
What are you going to do?
I'm hopefully going to Montreal if I don't have COVID. I don't know my throat, so I have to go get tests.
Let's end this video chat now. I don't want to get anything.
I think I'm okay. I just had a little thing yesterday after getting back from the, you know, being in an airplane with 300 strangers. But I'm feeling better today. But yeah, I'm hopefully.
What was the general vibe like at the Toyota event? Just in general,
it's pretty good. I mean, it was great. I got to see lots of, you know, people like John Volker was there and Sebastian.
Oh yeah, Blanco. John's great.
Sebastian, who got me into this business, actually hired me originally. That's awesome. He was there.
I had dinner with Seth from Electric last night.
Oh really?
Awesome. Yeah, we just had a great chat. Awesome dude. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've met Seth in person. I enjoyed his company.
So cool. Yeah. It turns out he goes to Vermont, which is like the same area where I grew up going. So it was pretty neat.
Right.
Yeah. Love their site. Really do. I know I shouldn't promote competitors, but
that's fine.
They do a good job.
Yeah, they do. All right. So, yeah. So I'm hoping to go to Montreal. I lived there for like 11 years back in the 90s. And I hope to play some music on. I've got the open mic on Sunday night at the Barfly kind of lined up. I'm going to play.
Yeah, like we should plug your music Twitter. What's your music Twitter? Band Together with Dominic.
Together with Dominic. BTW Dominic. Yeah, there's not a whole lot there yet. I need to create some content, as they say.
Yeah.
But
it's all about consistency.
Hopefully, if this all works out, I'll try to get somebody to take some video and get it up there.
Cool. Well, I hope to see it and really hope you enjoy your trip. Finally, going on vacation. Borders are open.
Right.
Get out of the country. We don't want you anyway. Go back to where you're from.
All right. It's been I haven't been there in like close to 20 years, except for one like short trip like 18 years ago or something. But I still have lots of friends and stuff there. But anyway, so that brings us to the end of our show. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them on the Inside EVs forum podcast thread or on our YouTube or Twitch comment sections. If you like the show, please give us a thumbs up if you're watching us on YouTube. Don't forget, you can find and follow our panelists on Twitter. You can find and follow Tom Longley at Tomalog. That's with two M's. Martin Lee, when he's here, is at EV News Daily. Kyle Connor is at It's Kyle Connor. And of course, I'm at Dominic_Y. Click subscribe and tap that bell icon for notifications, and we'll see you all again. I'm lining up.
Oh, it was nice to meet Chris, by the way. I met our viewer Chris Largent the other day in Napa, and it was great to see you, Chris.
Awesome. Right, so we'll see you all again next week.
We're here.